Well, welcome back, guys. My name's Kirk. I'm joined by Vince for another episode of Uncomfortable. Today, we're going to talk about a very interesting topic, which actually leads right into an area where Vince and I are very passionate about, and that's helping ministers. And the specific topic is fighting burnout in ministry. Now, there's many things that can lead to burnout. There's many areas that we as believers and ministers can cause ourselves to end up in a situation where we feel burned out. But what are we doing to prevent and fight burnout in ministry with the leaders that we have in our church, the ministries that we support? What are we as a body of Christ doing to help the ministers feel full? And I know, Vince, that you know you and I, every other minister, individual believers have a responsibility for ourselves. I know that. However, just thinking out loud, isn't there a responsibility of each and every believer as a brother and sister in Christ to lift up their brother and sisters in prayer, to lift up the arms of those around them, to try to empower them and strengthen them through the seasons that they go through?
The short answer of that is yes. I mean, the Bible says that we are supposed to bear one another's burdens, to walk with people and rejoice when they rejoice and weep when they weep and mourn when they mourn. So the short answer is yes, absolutely. Now, are there some caveats and things in there? Sure there are. I mean, if you're going to pray for someone or something like that and God says don't do it, then obviously you don't do it. There's some kind of reason or something they're needing to learn or whatever that may be. But if you don't have a specific directive from the Lord, and if they're a part of your congregation, if they're your leaders and your teachers and your pastors, then you do have a responsibility to them because they're part of your fellowship. They're part of your community. And you should be praying for them and lifting them up instead of tearing them down and complaining about them because they said something you didn't like or they don't sing all hymns or they only sing contemporary songs or X, Y, and Z. They don't like the color of the carpet in the new sanctuary, whatever it may be. There's things that we all have our issue with, and a lot of times it's not even the real issue anyway. It's the fact that there's something that just kind of might rock us because of our own issues that we need to deal with. But I digress on that one. And I will say that the short answer is yes. But it's also, even though, like you said, it's the responsibility of the individual to make sure that they are taking care of themselves, that they're tending to themselves. There's also a level of responsibility for those who are leading other people to make sure that they're not overdoing it. Mm-hmm. And that comes where you got to learn your team. You got to learn those who work with you, even volunteers. And it is our responsibility as leaders that, especially with volunteers and people that work with us, that if they're working at the church all the time and they're just there for everything and you come to rely on them, man, you can't just say, oh, well, they're always here. They're always faithful. I'll just pile something else on them. They'll get it done. Maybe you don't. Maybe you say, hey, you know what? I really appreciate everything you do, but I really feel like you should take a night off. No, Pastor, I'm good. I got it. I'm good to go. Well, I understand, but I really am, you know, I feel like it's really strong. The Lord wants you to take a night and rest.
I completely agree with you, brother. I mean, I remember many seasons when I was working my 9-to-5s. You know, I'm still bivocational now. But I remember when I first moved back to Texas as a project manager, the job that I had was so intense, I had no time for vacation. When I took vacation, I took my vacation so I could work from home. So I literally had a full 8+ hours working from home on my vacation. Now, talk about burnout. Now, let's take that to another side. Now, take that back over to ministry. Generally, what happens with your pastor, right? The pastor's preaching at church. And I'm not talking about the ones that take advantage. There's always bad apples out there. The ones that, like the ones that go and play golf and stuff when they should be ministering to their congregation. Most ministers are not like that. Most ministers love their congregation. Most ministers have a heart to equip their people. Most ministers yearn to make sure that their congregation is ministered to, that their hearts are healed, that the tears are wiped, to the point to where they'll get done preaching for church. They'll go home and eat. Someone calls them on the phone. They're out over there counseling someone. Then someone calls them at midnight. They're, you know, knocking on the door, you know, comforting a man that lost his wife. Then on Monday, they're praying for someone and they're ministering to people that need help, whether it's financial or spiritual, whatever, all week long. They're so bombarded with spiritual needs, they can't even take care of the physical needs of their own building. And they still have the day-to-day 9-to-5 that they have to take care of, paying bills, making sure that the church is clean, making sure that all of the other behind-the-scenes things that nobody takes into consideration are done. So pastors and ministers have an opportunity to become so overwhelmed that they feel like they're being overrun by stuff.
That's true. You know, by doing that, a lot of times what we might not see until it's too late is that we're actually running ourselves into the ground. And by doing that, we're just like, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. And you just don't know any better. And the truth of the matter is, you know, we're taught that you're supposed to prefer others all the time and never supposed to think of yourself. But you got to think about what it says when you're flying. What do they tell you to do? Put on your mask first and then help somebody else with theirs. Because you can't help somebody if you're passed out.
That's right.
You know, they even tell you in extreme cases, if you have to rescue someone in the water, in extreme cases, it's been told to knock the person out so that you can
safely bring them
back
in.
Safely bring them back. Because if not, they'll freaked out. They'll grab a hold of you and they'll end up drowning you and drowning themselves.
Oh, yeah. Because a person in a panic doesn't think.
Right. And so you're responding a lot of times as a pastor, as a leader, to people that are sometimes in panic modes. And so they're only thinking about what's right there in front of them at that second. And it can get to a place where you are their life raft and you don't have the capability of holding them up and yourself. And that's not to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you if a member of your congregation, one of their family members dies. That's not what I'm trying to lay out there at all. What I'm saying is maybe, just maybe, certain things can wait. Maybe, just maybe, there are certain things that you put on a list. I love the way my wife puts it. At her job, she has a priority list, right?
Absolutely.
And then she has a revolving priority list, meaning that it's high on the list, but it's not so high or it's not so important that it can't be replaced by something that's more immediate, right? Mm-hmm. So like a last minute thing that comes up that they have to deal with or take care of, or the auditor's call or something like that, and they've got to get some kind of report out to them. So that can take preeminence over their other priority, and then they can get back to that thing later.
Absolutely.
Look, taking care of a church building, tending to different things in the congregation, those are important things. Obviously, you don't want your building to fall into disarray. But sometimes you need to be able to put that to the back burner and say, you know what? I'm wiped. I'm spiritually done. I've been visiting with a family who lost a family member. I'm praying for these people. I'm going to the hospital almost every night, visiting sick congregants and different things like that. one of my leaders that were here aren't here anymore. They've moved on. Even if it was God ordained for them to move, I'm overwhelmed. I don't have enough time to do anything. You know what? Give it a week. Ask for volunteers. Hey, can I get a few people to come sweep the church? Because the person that used to do it isn't here anymore. Hey, can I get three or four people to that would want to do that? Or ask a few people specifically, hey, are you available at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning? Can you and bring a couple guys with you? And let's just sweep the church real quick and take care of those little minor things that somebody else used to do and do them together. And instead of it taking you 2 and 3 hours to do it with all that manpower, now you can do it in an hour.
Absolutely.
And just leave it where it is. Don't turn it into a bigger thing. You know what I mean? Take it in for that. Enjoy the fellowship. Have some fun while you're there. Recharge your batteries and then go on about your day.
You know, Vince, I think sometimes another thing that can really fuel the burnout is when we allow the situations that we face in life, in ministry, and in day-to-day business, the things that are not fair, the things that seem like they are an outright attack against us, whether the person that's the perpetrator meant it that way or the enemy used it that way, that in itself is irrelevant. What's relevant is sometimes we become such a victim in the mentality that we have that we fail to begin to refuse that onslaught that's against us. Because we become so fixated on this thing that's in front of us. And it's easy to do. So it's not a condemnation to those that are facing those situations, but it's a reality that sometimes the situations that each of us deal with, that we have a choice. The choice is simple. Are we choosing to combat the situation that's in front of us, or are we going to sit back and just take it on? Does that make sense?
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of the fact that sometimes, you know, especially you guys out there that are pastors are and heads of churches and ministries, sometimes the onslaught gets so much. So heavy, the attacks just seem to come one after another after another. It gets to the point where you're just like, I can't. And you get to this place where you're just in this kind of like constant fight mode. And you get to this place where you're like, you're just kind of living in this place of survival. And instead of actually living and taking the time out that you need, you kind of retreat any external things that you did have, and you're literally in survival mode, and you're like the cornered beast. Like I've explained to you, Kirk, about some things with me in the past, you get like to be like this cornered beast, but you don't know what's coming at you, and everything's coming at you, and you don't even know if you can back yourself into a corner somewhere, and you're waiting for the next thing to come at you, and you're kind of living with this anxiety that you don't even realize is an anxiety. Right. It's interesting, and I mean this in the best way possible. It's a similar, for lack of better terminology, it's similar to what some soldiers deal with when they come home from PTSD. Being over it. Yeah, like they come home, but they haven't come home. They can't leave the fight there. And again, there's no negative towards that. I love my brothers and sisters in the military. And I know you guys have unique things that nobody else deals with. But when you are constantly overwhelmed with fighting, it becomes traumatic. And the trauma, the enemy tries to use this continuous trauma to pound into you into submission. And so you're constantly in this place of fighting, and it seems to get worse and worse. And instead of maybe stepping back and taking a breather, we don't. We keep launching deeper and deeper and deeper into this thing, and we're not able to hear anything anymore. We're not really listening to anyone else anymore. we're just so driven by this thing that we don't know any better. And here we are inching closer and closer and closer to complete and utter burnout, to the point that we could step into some really bad sin, or we could step into, like, we're done completely with ministry forever. So there are those things, Kirk, that are those are real dangers, and we've got to be careful. And, you know, absolutely, there are times, if Jesus was willing to take a nap in a boat during a storm, if he was willing to step away and spend some time with the Lord away from his people, then who are we to say that we shouldn't be doing that as well? Why is it wrong for a pastor to take a vacation? Why is it wrong for him to step back for a little bit of time here and there to regroup, to reorganize?
Oh, I agree with you, brother. I think there's moments we have to. Now, do I believe that sometimes it needs to be strategic? Because I'm sure you've heard, like I have, that sometimes certain ministers in the field have taken sabbaticals immediately after a traumatic event that happened in their church. Didn't give proper direction to the other leadership within the church on how to move forward within things, and just went day to day. And just like any business, and I'm not saying a church is a business, there's a business side to the back end administration, but just like with any business, you have to have a business plan so that you're successful in your day-to-day business. Ministry is the same. You have to give direction as a leader to your people so that your leadership team, when you go on break, can be successful in ministering and leading your congregation and making sure that their spiritual well-being is ministered to, even in the midst of tragedies, a tragic or crazy situation.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. As you're saying that stuff, and as we're talking about all this, I'm thinking of these practical things, right? You know,
absolutely.
How to combat it, how to fight it. Thinking of things as simple as, like, take some time off. Not necessarily like these prolonged, like, oh, we're going away for a month, we're going away for 2 weeks. But maybe every so many months, schedule, like you said, a weekend off. Or 3 or 4 days off. And you know what? Maybe you don't even have to leave town, because maybe you don't have the cash to.
There you go. Staycation, baby.
But have somebody, a leader that you trust or a trusted friend, come in and take care of the preaching or teaching that week, and maybe go to a different church, one where they don't know who you are.
Hey, I love back it.
And listen and learn and just receive. And I know some of you guys are out there like, oh, how dare you? You've committed the ultimate sin. Look, you're not leaving the church to go be another congregant somewhere else. You're on vacation. Just go receive somewhere.
That's right. You know, and here's the other thing. Just to be completely transparent, if you don't schedule it, it isn't going to happen many times.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know that's 100%. An area where I have had the Holy Spirit on me. Like, you know, I don't know how you want to put it. There's no real nice way to say it. I can think of several Southern ways of saying it that could be taken wrong.
Be real with it.
You know, but I'm just saying that the Lord has really been on me about scheduling my time, even to putting almost everything on my calendar. And it's not easy for me to do that. It should be, but it's been a journey as I begin to add more and more to my calendar, including personal time, including family time, including just time away from studying.
And glad you said that.
But see, really also that my study time, putting that on there too. Because for me, out of sight, out of mind, if it's not in front of me, it doesn't exist. You know, that's just the kind of the way I operate most of the time. And I'm getting better, and most people say, you don't get better, and I have been getting a lot better. I do remember things from time to time, and I'm like, oh, I forgot XYZ, and then I'll pop it on my calendar. So
that's because you're getting older.
Supposedly you forget more when you get older, but it seems like it's the opposite for me. I'm remembering more the older I get. Praise God, I'll receive that. So someone's listening to us because, man, he's so over spiritual. Whatever.
You know, okay, so here's, I'll say this. That's actually some of the stuff you're talking about. It's literally things that I taught in my classes last semester, and that was, you know, one of the ways to do that is to make sure that you schedule to overcome burnout and fatigue and all that is to make sure that you're scheduling time for several things. Number one, you and God. Number two, you and your spouse, if you have one, if you're, you know, if you've been blessed to have a spouse. And number three, you and your children. And by you and your children, sometimes it's you, your wife or husband and children. And sometimes it's just you and your children.
And sometimes that's a journey to figure out what other people want. Right. You know,
and you need time for yourself, though, too. Like you said, absolutely. You posted that. And that's so important. You got to have some time where you can do something that my wife likes to say this phrase, that unstrings your bow, that just you can relax to. It comes from the idea that back in the day when they made bows and arrows, they didn't keep it constantly strung because otherwise it would loosen the string.
It would lose the tension.
Yeah. So they would unstring it when they weren't using it.
That's right.
So she refers to it as unstringing your bow. And I love that phrase. And you just need those times, those things that just unstring your bow, man. It. If you live near a beach, go for a walk on the beach. If you live in a mountain, near a mountain, go for a walk in the hills or the mountains or whatever. Something that relaxes you, something that is just you. Take a nap, watch a video that is encouraging to you, not all the stuff, not all the drama.
Absolutely. And if you're a clean freak, get away from your kids for a night because kids are dirty. They're going to cause messes. Just do something to pull yourself away from the mess and not think or see it so that you can not think or stress about that mess for a little while. You know what I'm talking about, Vince. Everyone knows a neat freak in their family. So
yeah, I got one.
So when you've got those neat freaks, God bless them. Because, you know, I need one in my life. I'm sure you do too. But the reality is there's moments they need to pull away from those situations so they're not stressed. And as a husband of one, I need to try my best to not stress her out. And sometimes I do better than others with that. So,
absolutely.
But we, going back to what we were talking about, how fighting burnout. Yeah, I mean, we were about to start chasing a different rabbit there, man. The reality is, just like you said, we've got to schedule time to ourselves, schedule time for our families, our children, our spouse. And we need to be diligent with recognizing that not every moment of our life needs to be scheduled in a ministry engagement. I remember not long ago, Vince, when you and I were trying to figure out how to schedule this podcast recordings, I told you my schedule and you told me, Kirk, you need to schedule enema. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And I looked at my schedule and I thought, he's right. Because and the funny thing was, is literally just seconds before you said that, I thought to myself, I'm overloaded. And you texted me that, and I'm like, yeah, I do. And I started literally writing my list out again. Okay, what can I cut out of here? What is not pertinent to what God has assigned me in this season? What is not pertinent? Now, pastors, ministering to your flock is pertinent. However, like Vince said earlier, it doesn't mean it has to happen right now. I'm not saying that you won't have right nows every now and then, but it doesn't mean that everything that happens is a fire that has to be put out immediately. You know, you can bathe that thing in prayer, turn around and, hey, let's see if I can get you on the calendar in the morning or sometime early this week or later this week. There's very few things that are so urgent that it can't wait. And if it is, try to get other ministers that come alongside you. And I know that there's different seasons for every one of us. Right. You know, starting out small, you have less help. But try to build a ministry team that can assist you. The church that I was a part of before I moved back to Texas, they have a pastoral team. and they have pastoral rotation so that it doesn't burn the pastors out. Now, I'm sure that they get burned out the weeks that they're on it, but every week there's a different minister on call. So it's not one person every day of every month continuously having no break. But even with that,
I think that's wise.
Even with that, I believe there has to be limitations.
We call those boundaries.
Yes. There has to be healthy boundaries within the body. You know, Pastor, I'm feeling sick. I need you to pray for me. Well, what's wrong? I've got a cough. Dude, why'd you call him on the phone at midnight? I'm just being real. You know,
I'd be like, hey, I'll be praying for you. I'll call you tomorrow afternoon to check on you.
Right. As the body of Christ, we have to be responsible, even with our leaders. We don't want to abuse our leaders because we don't want to put them into a place of being burnt out. But leaders, even though you want to be accessible, you shouldn't be so accessible that they're completely overrunning your life. Coming between your wife and your children and yourself. The reality
that's boundaries. Yeah.
The relationship between you and God is number one. Then it should be you and your wife, then you and your children, and then the body of Christ.
Right.
You know, because your ministry is first to your family and then to anyone else. Because you're first assigned. Yeah, you're first assigned to your family. So there has to be boundaries, just like you said, Vince. If we don't put boundaries there, then we're going to be completely overrun because just like you said early in the podcast, well, you didn't say it quite like this, but you alluded to it. There's about 8 to 10% of the body of Christ that actually does 80 to 90% of the work. And generally speaking, that people, those that do about 80 to 90% of the work, they're not just doing the work, they're overloaded. That's deacons, ushers, whomsoever volunteer. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Those are also 80 to 90% of your givers.
Yep.
And the other, you know, 85 to 90% of the people don't even give most of the time. They're freeloaders. And it's not wrong for them to be there, but they're not investing of their time or their finances. The word says we're supposed to give. And maybe giving could even be of your time. You know, maybe you could.
If you don't have the ability to give financially, then, hey, maybe one day a week you ask, you know, you like, hey, can I just vacuum the church floor? Or
may I clean your bathrooms? Can I help set the chairs up on Wednesdays? I know you have a different, you know, way you organize it on Wednesdays and Sundays. Can I help you get that taken care of? Or can I volunteer once a month in the children's ministry? Or, hey, can I help? I'm really good at counseling people. Can I help counsel? You know, now some of those things you may need to be qualified for, you know, working with kids or, you know, working with people that need counseling. But, you know, those are always areas that you can volunteer in. And as you grow the relationship within the body, doors will open for you to help minister and help to sow your time, you know, and give of your time. And these are also areas where you'll help lift some of the burden off of the other ministers within the body and help people not lead into burnout. And just like every one of us need a listening ear or a shoulder to lean on from time to time, our pastors and leaders in the body of Christ need that as well. They need some time so that they can unload with their, you know, close friends and confidants to where they can be ministered to one-on-one and they can help fight that burnout. Because if we're not careful, we'll become so overwhelmed by situations in our life, the attacks of the enemy, the overwhelming need of the church or those around us, or sometimes it's self-inflicted because we schedule ourselves too much and we're so, you know, in need of a Nineveh on our schedule that everyone around us knows it, but we're completely oblivious until someone almost smacks us in the back of the head with a gib slap saying, dude, you clear up some of your schedule.
Right. No, you know, so if anything, look, every single person deals with these kind of things. So we're not saying this is exclusive to pastors.
That's right.
But what we are trying to say is you don't like it when people expect you to be Superman and do everything and not give you a break and try to bombard you 24/7. Why do you think it's okay to do that to the leaders of your church? You don't like people calling you at midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning. You complain and get upset about that stuff. But yet, if your pastor doesn't do it, then there's something wrong with them.
Let's take it to another thing.
You get mad or upset.
Your boss. Your boss calls you at midnight and you're not on the clock. Are you going to be happy about that? You just got done working a 12-hour shift and you're getting a phone call from your boss and I need you to come back in. Are you going to be happy about that? And there's no extra pay, your salary. Let's put it in perspective here. So we're not saying it's wrong to reach out to your pastor. Not at all. That's what they're there for. They're there to mentor you, to you know, protect you, to be
to walk with you,
someone to help build you up and equip you and pray with you, counsel you. Yes, that's exactly what the pastor is supposed to be there for. However, let's respect their time just like we want our boss when we're not getting paid hourly to respect our time. You know, we want them to be healthy spiritually just as much as we want to be healthy spiritually ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of a common time of the evening that, whether it be your job if you're on salary or even if, you know, a pastor, leader in the church, that you just shouldn't call people past that time unless it's an absolute, like...
Absolutely.
No hold. I mean, if you are responsible for handling all the computer systems and handling the servers and all, and all of a sudden at 2 a.m. you get a phone call saying, hey, there's a leak coming in, and it's if we don't move some of these servers, or at least move everything to an offsite, we're going to lose everything. I get that. That's a genuine business emergency.
That's completely different.
In a case like that, okay? But those are rare. And your boss calling you to be like, hey, I need you. I know it's 2 a.m. I need you to come in. We need to dust the servers. What?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you have somebody for that? Well, yeah, they didn't show up. They were gone for a couple days. Well, can I do that in the morning? No, I need it done right now. But why do you need it done right now? Because I need it done right now because you know how it is. And if it just doesn't get done right now, it won't get done and nobody will ever get it done. That's what we do to our pastors a lot of times. Pastor, I'm freaking out. I got everything going on in my life and I just need you to pray. What do you need me to pray for? I'm coughing and I need you to pray for my cough.
I mean, it can even be something more severe. However, there's many times...
Well, I'm talking about the light things. I'm not talking about severe things.
Those
have a...
But even if someone's suffering from panic attacks, I don't think that's the time to bother your pastor at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No.
You know, but with all respect, from anyone that's dealing with those situations, we acknowledge they're real. We acknowledge that you need to have help with your friends, spiritual leaders, but don't be so overwhelmed and inconsiderate in the midst of that trial. Remember, God is there with you. You don't need to always chase the man of God, but chase the God that the man serves. Right?
I agree.
Just like we're not supposed to chase the prophets to get a word. We're supposed to be chasing the one who gives the word to the prophet. Because as the body of Christ, we all have the ability to get the words from the Lord. It's not that we're only certain people have this special ability. No, they just put the time in so that they're hearing more clearly because they're spending time in the presence of God. They're spending time in prayer and fasting. If the body of Christ as a whole begins to turn back to those practices of prayer and fasting and seeking God more diligently, we will all benefit tremendously. Now, Vince, we're coming right up at the edge of time, but I want to give the people just a quick temptation on our next topic. Because I think it kind of is partially to blame as to why people go into burnout in the first place. Next episode, we'll be talking about the definition of insanity. And we invite you to become a part of that conversation. You know,
I'm intrigued.
Come and listen. And then, you go ahead and send us emails now. But next week, after you hear the episode, send us an email. Talk to us about what you think about what you may think about the definition of insanity and what that means in your spiritual life. And to get that definition, you're going to have to stay tuned next week.
Well, hey, as we close out, Kirk, I'll make this my closing statement. You know, again, the whole purpose that, and the main, one of the main reasons that we do this and that we are doing this,
hey, yes,
is
sir,
to start conversations. We want to start conversations. We want you guys, you can feel free to respond to us. Have conversations with one another. Come to the table, right? The word says, come now, let us reason together. And so get together, open up the word, break down what it says. Share these things with other people. Ask them their opinions. Listen to other opinions and commentaries. And then let them listen to yours. Don't make your perspective an absolute. Be willing to hear people out. It doesn't mean that they're right and you're wrong, or you're right and they're wrong. But conversation is conversation, and through that we grow. And we become closer as a body. And we can actually be there for one another. And as we get closer and closer to the end of times, it's going to be more and more important for us to connect and be willing to hear each other out and look past petty differences and hold fast to the most important
Absolutely.
Things.
I mean, the whole purpose of this thing is to cause you to feel uncomfortable, to drive you back into the Word of God, to study the Word and mm-hmm. have conversations. Completely agree, Vince. Perfect ending to this conversation we've had today. Guys, if you have a prayer request or a topic that you'd like us to discuss, please email us at our new email address, uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also go to the website, to the contact page at mooseministries.org, and you can reach us there as well. Guys, God bless you. Have a great time.
Later.